Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Now, our pod squad are with me to troll through the podcast offers that are out there to find some good, decent recommendations so you don't have to waste your time with all of their rubbish podcasts. Today we're talking, though, about a British scandal, a series that explores famous scandals in a country that, well, loves a good scandal. But in this series, we have listened to The Canoe Con.
The tide pulls him in different directions. He keeps going.
I know he's got a plan, but this is still really scary.
Oh, he's got a plan. It's just a terrible plan. But the sea gets rougher. His arms feel weak. A huge wave picks him up and hurtles him forward. He tries to get some control, but a wall of water hisses over his head. He looks round. There's no sign of land. He's come out too far.
Oh, God.
And the current is so strong, it's pulling him further out. John Darwin is trying to fake his own death, but right now, he's in real trouble. If he can't get to safety in the next few minutes, his death at sea could become a reality.
Our pod squad today, News Talk's Laura Donnelly, of course, from the newsroom, and Elaine Burke, the presenter of the For Tech's Sake technology podcast. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Laura, had you heard of this story, first of all?
Yeah, I was familiar with it as a news story from years ago, and that there was a TV series in the last couple of years that I meant to watch but just passed me by. But I'd always been interested in it, so I was delighted to get the, you know, recommendation to listen to this.
Yeah,
podcast.
What about you?
From the same reason that Laura knew it. Now, I didn't know going into it that it was that story from The Thief, His Wife and the Canoe, the ITV show. But once they started talking about it and we got to that part of the clip we just played, I was like, oh, is this is about that guy. So I knew the gist of it. I knew a man had tried to fake his own death, had gotten his wife embroiled in this fraud. But I didn't know how many layers there were to this story and how many twists and turns it takes that are quite strange surprising.
I knew nothing about it, right? So there's four episodes in the series and I'm two in. Now, I know maybe some people might have already heard of this. The podcast is out a number of years. It's not a new podcast as such. But just explain those layers, Laura, to people and what this story is all about.
Yeah, so this began in the early 2000s, and John and Anne Darwin are the main people in this story. And John gets himself into a bit of money trouble. He has a lot of properties and he decides he's going to try fake his own death, and he brings his wife in on the plan. Like, she wants nothing to do with it, but she's kind of coerced into it. And they've recently moved to an area by the sea, and he said, I'm going to go out in the canoe, pretend I've died, and you pick me up down the road. And he ended up hiding in the house next door, which they also owned and rented out to tenants. And the wife delivered him in microwave meals, and he just kind of existed from there. Except one day he just walked in the front door and a tenant saw him and said, I thought you were...
He's wandering around constantly. Like, he's out and about constantly, according to the details of this podcast, which absolutely astounds me.
Now, some of it is sort of, you know, drama based as well, isn't it? In terms of, it's not fully factual. There is dramatisation within the podcast too.
It's mostly dramatisation, which I struggled with, to be totally honest. The format of this isn't, you know, talking heads and interviews.
Yeah, just explain the format now, right?
So the format, we have two hosts, Alice Levine and Matt Ford. And people might recognise Alice Levine's voice. She's one of the My Dad Wrote a Porno hosts. So she's well known in the podcast scene. And Matt Ford would actually be quite well known as well. And he's an impressionist and I suppose that kind of comes through in this, because he tells the story and Alice just adds commentary here and there sprinkled in, but he does the dialogue of the different people. Like, at one point there's a Texan accent and a few Hispanic accents, and it's a little bit cringe for me now, from an impressionist. They weren't great. So it's all of them in conversation and telling each other the story, and I found that a bit hard to get my head around. I would just rather hear from the horse's mouth. And there's one episode where they interview one of the investigating officers.
Oh, I haven't got that far yet.
That's the end. So I actually preferred that episode. That was my favourite episode. It was more traditional podcast format.
Did you like
Some
the format?
People like it, though.
I actually did.
And did you? I didn't at all. That's my one gripe with this podcast, right? I didn't like the format. Like, you're either the narrator or you're analyst, you're talking about it, but don't start, you know, giving me commentary in the middle of the narration.
Yeah.
I didn't like that part.
If someone had told me that before I got into it, I would have been like, absolutely not for me. They're voice actors telling this story. I won't like it. But I don't know. I thought they were just so good at doing that in parts. I know I agree with you about the accents. There's just times where it's really good. And I did wonder about how they know so many details. Like there was parts of it where they're acting out the conversations that John and Anne have over dinner. And I'm like, how did they know that? But both John and Anne have written books since. So they have lifted some, I think, ideas from those books. And they say that themselves.
Yeah.
We only know so much about this. The rest we've had to fill in the gaps.
Yeah. But for me, I think if I want to watch a dramatisation, I would rather watch Eddie Marsden and Monica Dolan do the dramatisation because they're both very good TV actors who do it in the ITV show. So I actually wish I'd watched the ITV show
first
over this. Yeah.
The story is mad though, Laura.
It's absolutely
like
mad.
It's a bonker story.
Yes. And they have two grown up sons as well.
You really feel for them.
Yes.
They're the real victims in this. It breaks my heart.
Because they think their dad has died in a canoeing accident or at sea, or you know what I mean.
And their own mother is lying to them about it.
And it's all really over a kind of a life assurance policy, effectively.
Yeah, and years pass before they sort of get this resolution. I know we're going to try avoid ruining the ending for you, but they have grieved their father and then he comes back into their lives. Like, I just can't understand how they cope with that. And there's one particular scene, the inquest, where they've John has been told, or Anne on his behalf has been told, that they won't get a payout without a body.
Mm.
So they now move to trying to make sure he can be proven dead. So they beg for an inquest. And at that inquest, he is missing, presumed dead. And Anne is thrilled with that. And she says, I can't wait to tell John the good news that he's dead. And the next line is that they look to the sons, who are absolutely broken, because they take that as no hope of their dad ever being found alive again.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a particularly good part where you saw both sides of it. The sons really, really devastated.
And I do think, like, there's two people in this. It's John and Anne. And Anne gets a lot more sympathy from the storytellers than I think she deserves. By the end of it, I've turned on Anne. I don't actually have a lot of sympathy for Anne.
Why? Because she went along with it.
I don't believe the coercion story. Her own sons didn't believe the coercion story. I mean, she had many, many chances to say no to this and turn them down. And she herself took it upon herself to tell outrageous lies throughout this as well. Mm.
I also thought it was a little bit mad, right? I'm only two episodes into the four, where the police come at some point to do a forensic examination of the house. So they're there and they're in their blue overalls, the white overalls, and they're, you know, like fine through comb, going around the house, picking up old medication. Was this John's? You know, looking at, doing all the stuff you do, fingerprints, everything. But sure, they also, surely at some point you would have looked to see what other properties they own. They also happened to own the house, the adjoining house next door, where he actually was hiding and couldn't sneeze or cough, you know, for fear that the forensic guys would hear him. And like, they never looked in there at that point.
You'd probably learn a little more when you get to that last episode, where you actually get to hear from one of the investigators about how they approached all of that. But I think, like, there wasn't high suspicion at the start. Like, someone went out in a canoe and was possibly lost at sea.
A canoe they made themselves. That was a big thing she played on, wasn't it?
I mean, that is a likely story. That happens all the time. And
true.
It's really tragic as well, the wasting of time of rescue services that was put through on this. Like, that's really infuriating to hear about as well. So I don't think there was high suspicion until it started to come out that, you say, the insurance company was investigating them and there was, you know, the question marks over the financial situation. And then I think it was actually one of the red flags was when Anne ships herself off. I don't want to be too specific again.
Yeah, something I'm going to find out later.
Yeah, and Anne ships herself off somewhere that I think raised some suspicion as well.
Now, I found it's a fascinating listen. Like, the podcast's episode, they're not too long. They're maybe around the 40, 41,
45 minutes,
yeah, something like that. But it's a good story. It's nice and short, Laura. Four episodes, lovely.
That suits you.
Oh,
down
it's
to
right
the ground.
Down to the ground. Tell the story, move on.
Yeah, I actually agree. Four episodes, perfect. And as Elaine has mentioned, the interview with the detective is really good because, as you've pointed out, there's a few holes in that story. Like the fact that the tenant spotted him, that he's out and about with just thinking he looks a bit dishevelled. And then, I don't know if you've got to this yet, Andrea, in what you've been listening to, but a woman who works with Anne contacts the police at some point and says, I know he's supposed to be dead, but I think he's ringing here. And they checked phone records and still there's a long gap in time from what I can take from it to when that's acted on.
Yeah.
So there's, it's a bit mad.
Did you find though when you were listening to it that you'd stay listening to it? That it was gripping? Like,
yeah, I was definitely gripped.
It is,
even though
it?
I was actually aware of the story and I'd been interested in it and I was happy to listen to it knowing
that I knew a little bit about it. So I already kind of knew the outcome, but didn't know any of the details. So I thought that was good.
Yeah. Would you recommend it?
No, I don't like this format. I would probably say, check out that TV show. That looks really good.
Do you know, I want to watch the TV show now. Yeah. What's it called again?
The Thief, His Wife and the Canoe.
The Thief, His Wife and the Canoe. ITV, is that
ITV,
what it's
yeah. Yeah.
I will listen to that because, or I will watch it, I should say, because I'm interested now in the story. I've a lot of questions.
It is a really, it's a great story. Mm. Like, and it's true as well. That's what's mad about it.
The
crazy decisions that were made, like the dialogue or whatever is a lot of that's made up. But the crazy decisions that were made throughout this story, they're true. And that's one of the most entertaining parts of
Listen, do we find out, where are the two boys now? Do we find out?
The sons?
Yeah. You do get
a closure
recap
on that.
Yes.
You'll find out.
Yeah, because I did wonder about that throughout. Like, I have great sympathy for them.
And it's horrible. It really is horrible what they went through. And there's a point in it where, as well, their dad is playing, like, it's not Call of Duty, but a type of game like that, to be in contact with them, like, anonymously. He's playing that as a different person to stay in contact with his kids. Like, the emotional abuse that these people have been through really
listener
breaks
here
my heart.
Says, I remember listening to the podcast a couple of years ago. I loved it. Such a crazy story, and how they got away with it for so long is beyond me. How many stars, Elaine, out of 5?
3, because the format just didn't work for me.
4 Laura. From me.
Yeah, I'm kind of on a 3 buzz. The format isn't my love at all. Yeah,
I surprisingly like it, but it wouldn't normally be my cup
your
of tea.
Cup of tea. Okay, we'll have to get you back again. Elaine Burke, presenter of the For Tech's Sake Technology podcast. Laura Donnelly from the News Talk newsroom. Thanks a million to you both for joining us on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.